10 lepers. Why 10 lepers? Brother Dan.
Thank you, Brother Bob. Brethren, we bring you the love from the brethren we meet with in Hartford, Connecticut. Although they voted to send their love, but half of the brethren are here anyway. I do have special love for Sister Janice. I talked with her on the phone. She had wished to be here, at least for a day or two, but pressing duties back home, it was not possible. But she sends her love. In our study today, we would like to look into one of Jesus' acts of healing and the various lessons that it illustrates. We recall an account when Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem by way of Samaria and Galilee, and he came upon 10 lepers, which he healed. Now, we might think that leprosy was a disease that was only around in Jesus' day, or we read about it in the Bible, but if we looked into the medical field today and asked, is it still around? And the answer is yes. Today it's called Hansen's disease. Although it is not common, especially in the United States, there are still reported cases today. Hansen's disease is a complex, infectious disease that is caused by bacteria. It can affect the skin, the eyes, the muscles, the bones. It usually takes 4 to 8 years for symptoms to appear before, after exposure to the disease. Leprosy, or Hansen's disease, causes sores all over the body. This disease leads to blindness and disfigurement, eating away various parts of the body, if it is not treated. And there's really no cure for leprosy, but it's treatable to a certain extent. There are many medications that can halt leprosy and keep it under control, but it may be necessary to take it for a lifetime, like antibiotics. Leprosy is used in the scriptures to symbolize sin. Sometimes leprosy was inflicted by God as a punishment for sin, as we remember in the case of Miriam, Moses' sister, who was smitten with leprosy because of her improper attitude and her disrespectful language concerning her brother Moses. And Moses prayed to God, and she was healed. Another example was King Uzziah of Judah. He transgressed against the Lord because he went into the temple to burn incense on the altar, and on the altar of incense. And however, it was only the priests and the sons of Aaron who were allowed to burn incense. So the Lord struck him with leprosy in his forehead, and Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. Sin is an incurable disease and therefore well represented by leprosy. Like leprosy, it doth eat like a canker, and all having it are unclean. Now we read this account of Jesus, and it's found in Luke, the 17th chapter. Luke 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that is Jesus, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. The words "which stood afar off" are not found in the Sinaitic. And in verse 13 it says, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. These lepers had knowledge in some way of Jesus from some source and heard about his power to heal and for them to cry out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And in verse 14 it says, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. The lepers were asking for mercy. And Jesus says, go show yourself unto the priest. Now, at first glance, that doesn't appear that Jesus is extending any mercy until we analyze it. If we look into the law given to Israel, an Israelite who had the beginnings of leprosy, or one who was cured of leprosy, had to appear before a priest. So in Leviticus, the 13th chapter, verse 1, we read, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priest. And the priest shall look on this plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. The law also stated that the leper would be banished from the people. Being a contagious disease, they were to be isolated. They're unclean. And so we also read in Numbers, the 5th chapter, verse 1, Numbers 5, 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper. Now, if the plague of leprosy was healed in an Israelite, he was also to appear before a priest. Leviticus, the 14th chapter, if you turn there, in verse 1 it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed. And then the rest of the chapter goes into a deals with a prescribed practice according to the law before being accepted back to the congregation, before the people. So we see the disease was treated from a religious standpoint, and in every case was brought to the judgment of the priest. They decided whether or not a case of leprosy had developed. If it did, they banished the leper. But in the event it was cured, now we said earlier that leprosy is incurable. No cure or remedy was prescribed by the priest. It said that the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, that is, for some reason the disease went into remission, or it was no longer contagious. The priest must describe a cleansing according to the law before he would be readmitted back to the congregation. Now we go back to our lesson in Luke 17. Our Lord said, go show yourself to the priest. These 10 men were lepers. They had the disease. By going to the priest, he would look on them, and if in his judgment the leprosy had stopped, they might be expected to be pronounced free from contagion and maybe permitted to return to their homes and their families. Even though the maiming and the marring of the associated with the disease might still be with them. So thankful for such a possible release from their sufferings, the entire 10 of them obediently complied with Jesus' words. But on the way, they discovered that their obedience to Jesus' words gave them a complete restoration to normal conditions. Their faith had brought them far more than they had expected. We read in Luke 17, 14, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. And he fell down at his feet on his face at his feet, saying, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto them, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. These men were healed. They had asked for mercy, and Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. They believed something would happen, and they were completely healed. Now, there is another interesting comparison of healing of a leper earlier in Luke. It's in the 5th chapter. It's if you turn to verse 12 of the 5th chapter, it says, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And Jesus said in verse 14, he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now in this case, Jesus healed the leper immediately. And then he was told to go to the priest. The priest would pass judgment and make atonement for him. This man said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus, he did. The 10 lepers in Luke 17 said, have mercy on us. And Jesus told them, go show yourself to the priest. And they were rewarded for their action. Jesus was using his power to heal in slightly different ways with the faith of the individuals involved. Now, as we said, leprosy represents sin in the scriptures, and leprosy is contagious. In Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 12, it says, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And also we read in the 51st Psalm, verse 5, Psalm 51:5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Therefore, we see leprosy as a suitable symbol for Adamic sin. Leprosy also mutilates, it cripples, and it disfigures. And we as humans are far distant from the man, Adam, when he was created perfect. And so we are mentally, morally, and physically imperfect. Now, as Jesus cured and cleansed those with leprosy, they were made whole again. They were made right. And typically, to be cleansed from leprosy represents justification. So we ask the question, why 10 lepers? The number 10 suggests completeness or fullness. So there are two applications that we'd like to make concerning this miracle. The first application is that the 10 lepers represent the justified of both the gospel and the millennial ages. The gospel and the millennial ages. And the second application is that the 10 lepers represent the justified of the gospel age only, just the gospel age. So let's take the first application, the justified of both ages. Jesus is the only physician who can heal this leprosy of sin. Nothing that the sinner himself could do could cancel the sentence. The good physician heals humanity at a great cost to himself. As the wages of sin upon Father Adam and his race meant death, so whoever would redeem Adam must be prepared to pay Adam's penalty. before he could assist the sinner legally and justly. Whoever therefore would be the Savior of man must have a life separate and apart from that of Adam. Our high priest is holy, harmless. He's undefiled. He's separate from sinners. And he was willing to sacrifice his life on Adam's behalf. In God's plan of the ages, we understand that there are two classes of sinners to be saved. There are two classes afflicted with leprosy, which have to be justified. One class is justified before the other class. One class is made right during the gospel age, and the other class will be made right during the mediatorial phase of the kingdom. Who is the class that is made right during the gospel age? That class is you and I, brethren. Romans 12:1 states, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. How can our sacrifice be holy and acceptable to God if we ourselves are afflicted with leprosy? The thing done was an imputation of the merit of Jesus, was granted by divine justice on behalf of all who would enter into a covenant of sacrifice and for whom Jesus would become our advocate. Our sacrifice must be one without blemish. Our sacrifice must be one without leprosy. We must be justified freely from all things and be holy through the cleansing which is in the blood of Christ, if we would be acceptable to God. And then we may offer ourselves and be acceptable sacrifices. So this imputation of the merit of the sacrifice to the church by Jesus might be likened to a mortgage upon the ransom sacrifice, which would hinder it from being applied to the world. Its application to the church must be completed first. And then actual justification will be the route of approach toward God on the part of the world during the mediatorial phase of the kingdom. The world will be under the guidance and help of the great mediator. His glorified body members are included in that mediator. And this is part of the process of the atonement. These two classes who are afflicted with leprosy and who are healed by Jesus, we believe, are illustrated in this miracle of Luke 17. Brother Russell gave a discourse to the brethren at Minneapolis St. Paul in 1912, and the title of his discourse was 10 Cleansed, but One Thankful. And I'll just quote a little from his remarks. When 10 lepers came to our Lord praying for healing and were granted their request, only one of them returned to thank the Savior. And Jesus called attention to the fact it well illustrates the differences between the two classes of the saved. The entire 10 lepers would well represent the world of mankind in sin. All would be glad to be relieved of the leprosy of sin and to be holy and happy. But only one of the 10 was so appreciative as to come back and worship the Redeemer and offer him his services. It represents the fact that only a small proportion of humanity is properly appreciative of the blessings of forgiveness of sins and healing therefrom. The only one who was thankful would well represent the class of sinners who now constitute the true church, and who, realizing the divine arrangement for forgiveness of sins, come thankfully and offer the Lord their little all to be used in his service. And so that was from a discourse in 1912. Now, the leper who was thankful and who returned to Jesus, Brother Russell suggested, represents the true church. Now, the leper was a Samaritan, implying the other 9 were Jewish. Who makes up the true church? Well, Galatians 3:27 says, "For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus." Now you notice, Jesus did not invite the Samaritan, the healed Samaritan, to become one of his followers. This Samaritan could not receive any spiritual blessings because, like all Gentiles, he was debarred from any share in divine favor until the full measure of was complete to Israel. We recall it was Cornelius, the first Gentile to be received into favor. And that was 3.5 years after our Lord's crucifixion, because the end of the 70 weeks of favor promised to Israel was over. We recall another place when Jesus sent out his 12 apostles. It's recorded in Matthew 10:5. "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So this Samaritan in Luke 17, he demonstrated a heart condition. His gratitude manifested itself. His condition of heart was nearer to the kingdom requirements than when subsequently the gospel was preached to the Gentiles and Samaritans. This Samaritan would represent a ready hearer and have a ready heart to receive the good message and to be healed from the moral leprosy of sin and to come in harmony with God by presenting himself a living sacrifice. Now, there is another example in the scriptures of someone who demonstrated a gratitude after being cured of leprosy, and who wasn't Jewish either. I think Brother Harry Nugent spoke about this yesterday. We recall Jesus' words in Luke 4:27, where he said, "Many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saying, Nahum the Syrian." That account was found in 2 Kings. And our Lord points out that there was a difference in the condition of heart as between some of the lepers of Israel and this one Syrian leper. The many lepers of Israel had heard of the prophet Elisha, no doubt, but Nahum had faith in God to come to Elisha seeking help. The lepers of Israel had not thought it worth to go to Elisha for help, even though they lived in the same country as the prophet. It was a Jewish maid who informed Nahum's wife about this prophet. We read about this in 2 Kings. It's the 5th chapter. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. "Now Nahum, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Nahum's wife. And she said unto her mistress, I wish that my master were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." So Nahum set out for Israel, and Elisha sent a messenger to Nahum, you know, just washed 7 times in the Jordan River. Nahum was pretty upset. He felt the rivers of Damascus were much better than anything in Israel. But eventually he went, and we read in the 14th verse of chapter 5, Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. He was clean. His gratitude is demonstrated in the next verse because he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." And Nahum had brought with him from Syria, he had brought silver and gold and clothing for Elisha. But in verse 16, Elisha says, "As the Lord liveth, behold, whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So our Lord's reference to Nahum and his cure and how the Lord's favor reached him, even though he was a Gentile, is similar to the fact that when our Lord healed those 10 lepers by the wayside, only one of them, the Samaritan, returned to give God the glory for his healing. So in one sense, the Samaritan illustrates the church who received justification ahead of others. The other 9 lepers are represented by the world who will be justified eventually, made right if they are willing and obedient to the kingdom arrangements. Now there is a second application. The 10 lepers represent the justified of the gospel age only. Now, all 10 lepers were cleansed from their leprosy, so they could represent the entire justified class during this gospel age. But the Samaritan would illustrate the little flock, and the other 9 would illustrate the great company. Brother Russell made this application also in reprint 54:53. It's titled, "Where Are the 9?" And I'll quote just a few sentences there. He says, "Let us view this, the incident of our lesson symbolically. Let the lepers represent sinners who, coming to realize themselves unclean, cry out to the Lord for cleansing, acknowledging his greatness and power as the Son of God, through whom he is only is forgiveness of sins, declaring themselves as desiring to be his followers, resolved thereafter to walk in the Lord's footsteps." Then he goes on to say, "How many of the tens, the hundreds, the thousands, whose devotion and faith the Lord has accepted, how many whom he has healed, forgiven, and received according to their profession of discipleship, really have become his true followers? How many who have declared to their Lord their promise, long life, gratitude, and devotion to him, to have his favor, have forgotten their privileges, and after receiving a blessing have gone, one to his field, another to his merchandise, another to pleasure, another to formalism." The Samaritan, I'm still quoting in our lesson, seems to represent a class of grateful followers of the Lord who seek to give him glory in their words, thoughts, and deeds, while the majority of those who have also received his favor are disposed to pursue the ambitions and pleasures of the present life, neglecting to take the path which the Master trod. They will not reach the glory, honor, immortality which he attained to and which he has called this class. A lower place must be for them. That's the end of that quote. So, a lower place. You know, we're told in 2 John, the 8th verse, "Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Only the more than conquerors will gain the prize," or as 2 John 8 expresses it, "gain the full reward." A full reward means they will have part in the first resurrection, the great company class. These will be saved with a lesser salvation and on a spirit plane, but are not partakers of the divine nature nor joint heirs with our Lord. You know, 10 lepers representing the justified of the gospel age only are also shown in a parable that our Lord gave two chapters later in Luke 19. Luke 19, we recall in Luke 19, verse 12, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants, and he delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy until I come. Well, 10 servants would seem to represent all the consecrated class. Each received a pound, something common to all. The pound would represent justification. It said, occupy till I come. Well, other translations might say, do business with this until I come back. In verse 15 of Luke 19, you know, it says, when he returned, he would see how much every man gained by trading. How much he gained by trading. So there are special opportunities a justified person has that he would not have otherwise. As a steward, it is our place to seek and find places where we can dispose of our talents and means which we consecrated to the Lord in the first place. It is required in servants that a man be found faithful, we're told in 1 Corinthians 4:2. So these servants at his return will be reckoned with, and the degree of their zeal and efficiency as servants will be manifested in their results. And there were 10 servants representing all the consecrated of the gospel age. There's only 3 rewards mentioned. One servant gained 10 pounds, it says, and was given authority over 10 cities. Another was gained 5 pounds and was given authority over 5 cities. And then in the 20th verse of Luke 19, another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I kept laid up in a napkin. It represents a fully consecrated class that say, I endeavored to maintain my justification, but I did not sacrifice myself to gain something. Christian character can't grow and develop if we neglect the very means which God has provided for our perfecting. And this servant seems to represent the great company class. It illustrates the same lesson as the 9 lepers who did not return and thank Jesus in Luke, the 17th chapter. In this miracle of healing 10 lepers in Luke 17, there is another general lesson on gratitude, and we're going to use this for closing. The quality of thankfulness that the Samaritan demonstrated, a heart of gratitude, that also illustrates a character trait that every true child of God must demonstrate. You know, if we were a homeless child, we lost our parents, we had no place to live, we had no family, no friends, and if we were taken in hand by some very rich and influential person, and if he took us into his own home and adopted us into his own family, he paid for our education and gave us a job, wouldn't we say, what a person this is? I must do something to show him how much I appreciate his kindness toward me. Having a grateful heart, I'm sure we would feel that way. And as the Father loves us, we also have the assurance that Jesus loves us, and he is not ashamed to call us brethren. We're told in the 22nd Psalm, verse 22, our Lord is as represented as saying to the Father, I will declare my name unto my brethren. So understanding this love, what now shall we give in return? You know, we say in our morning resolve, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? When we consider his love, his kindness for the great redemption for the world, and further for the high calling which we have received to come out of the world and become joint heirs with our Son, with Jesus Christ, ours is a heavenly inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. If we look at ourselves, and I look at myself, we say, truly and honestly, you know, we are nothing but bundles of imperfection. We're just full of leprosy. We have nothing worthy to offer to our Lord, our God. But we did offer it, and it was accepted because Jesus' blood cleansed us out of leprosy. And the more grateful we are, the more willing we are to sacrifice. So we read in the psalm, which is connected with our morning resolve, Psalm 116:12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And in verse 13 it says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. The things we consecrated to God, our little all, our time, our strength, our bodies, as living sacrifices, let us render that to the Lord. Let us not hold back anything, and it will cost us something. And in verse 14 of the 116th Psalm, it says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Let us not keep the secret, the matter of our vow of sacrifice, nor the matter of our gratitude of heart. It is not enough that we just were loyal in our hearts, but the Lord says he desires a public confession, a witness before men, in the presence of all his people. So, brethren, as we leave the convention for New Brunswick for the year 2003, let's have the attitude of the Samaritan, which came back to Jesus and fell at his feet, giving him thanks.
Thank you, Brother Dan. I guess we should say former lepers, wasn't that a blessing to be able to review the lessons and to keep in mind that we are glad we are not of the where are the nine class. We are thankful to Brother Dan for his surveying this for us. We don't want to be like Gehazi. You didn't have a chance, I guess, to go in that direction. It's another lesson. But remember when Brother Dan was going through this lesson and Elisha said, what, no, I'm not going to take anything? Gehazi gets on his donkey and goes after him and says, well, he changed his mind. Naaman gave him the goods, thinking this was legitimate. And what did he get in return for that? The leprosy. So it's a really, you opened up our mind to many, many things, Brother Dan. And all our brothers who served here, we give you many thanks on behalf of the congregation that's gathered here, on behalf of New Brunswick Ecclesia. We thank you from the bottom of our heart for your willingness to prepare, and especially to prepare the required assignments, because we realize that's an extra responsibility. Sometimes it's easier to do that, of course, because you have something to focus on, but we appreciate your being willing to do that. And we thank you for your love in that way. And we'd like to also thank you for your willingness to travel. It's a busy weekend. We trust that those who are on the road now and those who will be going on the road yet today will take the extra time to just let everyone have their way, go ahead of you as it need be. It's their world. Just sort of lay back and take it easy and don't have any rough times on the road. We thank you also for the brothers who serve for their faithfulness. We'd like to use the first and last verse of 363, Great is Thy Faithfulness, in closing, partly because of its beautiful singing to our Father for His faithfulness, and partly because of the reminder of pardon for sin. We'll rise for the last verse and be led in closing prayer for this talk and for the convention by Brother Dan. We'll also stay for a few moments and we'll close with hymn number 64 after that. We're going to sing the first and the last. 356 in the Blue Book. 356 in the Blue Book, 363 in most of the Red Books.